Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Piedmont Fellowship Church on this January Sunday, the 19th. It's the second Sunday after Epiphany, which we missed. I'm glad you all know that we canceled last Sunday's service. So I will explain what Epiphany is. So we will be celebrating Epiphany today. Epiphany is the celebration of the festival that reminds us of the visit of the Magi from the east. We usually call them three kings who came to see the baby Jesus from the east. So that's a remembrance of that. It's only in one gospel that is listed, in the Gospel of Matthew. But there's a very big significance to that event that happened, that the people who didn't have any knowledge of the Jewish faith or a Messiah or Savior, who are Gentiles in the east, people who worship other gods, they knew that they got a sign in the sky in the form of a star, that there will be a king born in Bethlehem in Judea, the king of the Jews, and they wanted to come and visit that king. And you imagine why that happened. And it was in all God's plan, because the message of salvation and Christmas is to all nations, regardless of Jewish heritage or not. We are all chosen by God through His Son, Jesus Christ. So these people who were in the east, the Gentile kings came and worshipped Jesus and accepted Him as the Lord and King of their lives. So that is what the message of that is. So we celebrate that every year as a church. Many churches have different services for that, but we don't have any special service, that we just remember and think about the significance of that, how that affects our lives today. We'll think about that. And as you all know, tomorrow is Martin Luther King Jr. Day. We celebrate today as the Sunday that we celebrate the work that people like him have done for human relations. And we call it Human Relations Day. And we celebrate that also, that congregations in various ways, we are called to make an impact in the communities that we serve, to serve the people who struggle, the people who are marginalized and who are subject of injustice in various different ways, socially, financially. So we are all Christians called to take up that a challenge. And every year that when we remember people and leaders like Martin Luther King Jr., we are reminded for that call, to take up that call and work for justice and peace in this world. So these are the things that we celebrate today. Glad that you're able to join here today in spite of the cold weather. Next couple of days are going to be really cold. So stay warm. If you don't have to go out, please don't go out and stay warm. And I know some of you have to work, but hopefully sometimes they will give you a day off. So let us worship God together. The announcements are listed in the second page. Those are the regular announcements. The food bank ministry, let us donate in cash or in kind. The books are available and still also benefit our mission work. The cooking class we scheduled for last Saturday has been cancelled, and it will be rescheduled hopefully in March or April. JC said she wanted to skip February also because of the challenges of the weather. The art class also will be scheduled as we get students for that. Next Sunday, January 26th, is a celebration Sunday. We'll have lunch after service, as we usually do. And there's a baby shower planned for Daniela, who is from the Hispanic church, that will celebrate that also during that time. And she's expecting a baby girl. And they are very excited about that as a church. So let us join their celebration. And if you want to bring the gifts also, please, they are welcome to do that. And our third Thursday luncheon will be February 20th. At 1 p.m. I don't know if you were able to meet this week, just five people. Okay, it's a good time to get together at Golden Corral and enjoy the senior citizens discount and have lunch and fellowship together. The first Sunday in February, my wife and I will be out traveling, so Reverend Dr. Gary Thornton from Mississippi, who was here this month, he will come back and preach to us. And the second Sunday in February also, we might be out, but Ms. Lewis is drafted or volunteered to preach on the second Sunday in February. So thank you for your continued and faithful support in the ministries of the church by your prayers, presents, gifts, service, and witness. God loves a cheerful giver. Let us continue to do the work that God has given us in this community to be His witnesses faithfully. And we accept our donations through our website, credit cards, debit cards, and many other options you can see there. So please use those opportunities. And many of you are already using that opportunities. So continue to do that. Those are my announcements. Anybody have any special announcements? Anything else?
I have an announcement.
Okay.
I talked to Jan and Harry on yesterday.
Okay.
And she told me to tell everybody to say hello. And Harry's getting much better. And they sort of planning to come in to visit with us in March.
Wow.
Oh, okay.
And things keep going, keep improving. She wanted me to tell everybody.
Okay, I was checking to see if she joined. Sometimes she joins late from New York, but she's not here yet. So I'll watch when she comes in. If there are no other special announcements, and also did she tell you about the 50-year anniversary she wanted to celebrate with us? Okay.
Yes.
She wanted to celebrate the 50-year anniversary with us as a church. And if they can't make it, we'll do a Zoom, and we'll work the logistics out with them. Please continue to pray for them. Let us continue worshiping God together. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. If you are able, stand for the opening hymn number 254, We Three Kings of Orient Are. Please stand if you are able.
Travels afar, field and pond and moor and burn.
songs through the earth and stars.
Please be seated. Let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for this beautiful time that you have given us to come before you as your children to worship you. We thank you for this opportunity you gave us to gather here in this church and also online to worship together, Lord. Help us, Lord, to understand the blessings that you give us in our lives are all gifts from you, even though we don't deserve them. You continue to pour out your blessings upon us, O God. Above all, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who came to this world, suffered and died and rose again from the dead so that we can have eternity with you. You are the God of all generations. Help us, Lord, to grow in your love towards you and others and around us, Lord. You are the God of yesterday, today and tomorrow. As the wise men from the east came to worship you together, Lord, help us, Lord, to worship you as King and Lord and sacrifice that you have done for us in our lives as they have accepted you as their Savior in their lives. As we celebrate Epiphany, help us to have that revelation from you in our hearts so that we can open our hearts to others. And also as we remember, it is the Martin Luther King Sunday here today on human relations, recognizing that we are called to make an impact in communities where we are called to serve. Help us, Lord, to be agents of peace and justice, to care for others, to love others as we love our dear ones. Help us, Lord, always to remember the leaders like Reverend Martin Luther King and others who in many ways have suffered and sacrificed. Help us also to be the agents of peace and love and care and compassion to this community and around us. We thank you for this time that you have given us to gather and worship you. Help us to worship you in truth and in spirit with all the saints in this world and angels in heaven. We adore you, we worship you, Lord. Let your name be lifted up and your people be blessed in all the things that we do here, in singing, in our prayers, in the meditation of the word. Everything we do here, bring honor and glory to your name and blessing to your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's our greeting time now. If you're able, please stand up and greet each other in Christian love.
Congregation choice today comes from Ivy, and it's Amazing Grace. Now, he is going to sing verse 1. Lisa's going to join him on verse 2 and 6, and then all of you are going to join them with the Praise God chorus immediately following, okay?
Okay.
Thank you.
We'll now do the responsive reading, which is taken from Psalm 72, verses 1 through 17. It's on the page 795 in the book. If you're able, please stand.
Give the king your justice, O God,
and your righteousness to the royal son.
May he judge your people with righteousness,
and your poor with justice.
Let the mountains bear prosperity for the people, and the hills in righteousness.
May he defend the cause of the poor of the people, give deliverance to the needy, and crush the oppressed.
May he live while the suns endure, and as the long as the moon throughout all generations.
May he be like rain that falls on the mown grass, like showers that water the earth.
In his days may righteousness flourish and peace abund till the moon be no more.
May he have dominion from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth.
May his foes bow down before him and enemies lick the dust. May the kings of Teresh and the isles render him tribute. May the kings of Sheba and Saba bring gifts.
May all kings fall down before him, all nations serve him.
For he delivers the needy when they call, the poor and those who have no helper.
He has pity on the weak and the needy.
And he saves the lives of the needy.
From oppression and violence he redeems their life, and precious is their blood in his sight.
Long may he live. May gold of Sheba be given to him. May prayer be made for him continually, and blessings invoked for him all the day.
May there be abundance of grain in the land. May it have abundance. May its fruit be like Lebanon.
And may the blossoms forth in the cities like the grass of the field.
May his name endure forever. His name continue as long as the sun. May people bless themselves by him. All nations call him blessed.
The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Please be seated. During our prayer time now, we will share our prayers of blessings and give thanks to God for all the blessings that we receive in our lives. And also we share our prayers of concerns and burdens. We share with each other and also share with God together as the body of Christ, united in faith. It's God's promise that if his people gather in his name and unite in faith, he will answer our prayers as per his promises. So let us share our prayers of blessings first, and the concerns after that, so we can pray together. The regular prayer items are listed at the back of the bulletin if you want to turn with me to that. Continue to pray for these people and these items listed there. Pray for Miss Jean McBrayer. She's able to make it to church here today, and thank you for coming. And it's always good to see you here. And also pray for Grace Haynes, Harry, Carol, Claudia, Jerry, Lois, Richard Sims, and Rich Barber. How is Lois doing?
She's doing great. She's doing she's
better.
Doing great.
Good.
Yes, yeah, thank God. She's doing great. The stitches are out.
And Carol is not
anymore.
Okay. Okay. Good. And Carol is not here today. She's Wayne said she's not feeling well. So please keep her in our prayers, and also please keep her Wayne. And how is Rich Barber?
He is better. I talked with him this week, and he's undergoing therapy right now, but he's better.
Okay. And also pray for the victims of the fire in the West. and keep all those relief workers and the people who are working there to contain it.
I have a couple I'd like to add.
Okay.
There's Sean and Amy Conway. Amy's one of my clients, and she's always had trouble with her health in general, but now her husband has actually been in ICU for a number of weeks, and they try to get him off a ventilator, and his everything goes wrong, so they can't do that. So prayers for being able to get off. I mean, the lungs are strong now, but the coming off the ventilator is messing everything else off and partially maybe panicking about it. So pray for Sean, especially. Conway is the last name. And then one of our other clients, her name is Tiffany. Her other half, his name is Wes. I don't know his last name. He's been in ICU for over a month. I think he's got like kidney and liver failure possibly, but pray for everybody, you know, him and her, his close people.
And I heard Jace is sick too, right?
Yeah,
so
we want him to be well because he's got to work tomorrow.
So I have to do all the I have to do the protection myself. So keep him in our prayers also. Anybody else have any special call-outs, any prayer requests? Please pray for our nation, our president, leaders of the Congress, and many others, especially as the new administration is inauguration is this coming as tomorrow, right? It's getting so fast. So please keep that in our prayers. I think because of the weather, they moved it inside. After in 40 years, it's the first time I heard. So please keep all of that events in our prayers that everything will be smooth and peaceful. Transition and pray for the new president and his administration that they will have the right people selected for leading various agencies in our country. Pray for the world leaders. Many things are happening around the world. Whenever something happens in America, the world will change. That is a fact. So it is important to recognize what we play in the whole world of politics in the world. So hopefully there will be a peace agreement soon in the Middle East, and let us pray that it will continue and will be lasting, that the hostages will be released. Pray for those struggles that people are going through. I can't imagine the struggle, the people, the families that are missing their dear ones for this long. It cannot be excused. So let us pray that it will bring everything to a closure. Pray for the world leaders who are working towards that. They will also fear God and they make decisions. And another thing that I heard about Iran, got a new president now, and he's a very peaceful guy, but the whole bottom line is because he accepted Christ when he was a teenager. Even though it's a Muslim country, run by the Muslim priests, the president is a Christian in heart. He doesn't acknowledge it, he doesn't do it, he doesn't profess it publicly, but in his heart he believes in Jesus Christ. As it's a history, you can look it up. He went to a Christian school. That is a big change. And also, in his administration, he's going to move the capital from Tehran to a western city, which is more of a non-Muslim. That's also a big change in Iran. So I think things are changing. And things are looking better for the future. Hopefully, God will work through this and make this world a better place. So let us keep all of these leaders in our prayers. Then God can change anybody's heart. You never know how God's Spirit will work. And even Putin started talking about peace. So let us also pray for that all of these wars will end soon. Let's pray for the church, our church, and all the churches in the community, and the pastors, the ministers, the work that they are doing, can do faithfully. And also, let us pray that God will help us to do the work that He has given us here in this community, that more people will come and worship together in this facility, especially with the new subdivision coming in front of us. That will be a great opportunity for us to minister to them. So let us keep all of that in our prayers. Those are the prayer items and requests that I have. If I missed anything or if anybody wants to add anything to it, let me know. If there are no other prayer requests, let us go to God in prayer. Let us pray in silent prayer in the beginning. for a few minutes, and then I will close with a summarized prayer after that. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we come before you as your children with our prayers of blessings and the prayers of concerns. You are a God who listens to the prayer of your children, regardless of where we are and how our condition is. And we know that your promises are from everlasting to everlasting. And the scripture says that our God will meet all of our needs according to the riches in glory in Christ Jesus. We come before you trusting in your promise that those who ask will receive and those who knock, the door will be opened for them. We come before you as your children, Lord, asking and knocking. Bless us today, Lord, as we share our prayers of blessings and concerns, especially the manifold blessings, the good health and strength in our bodies, the gift of life, family and friends and church and fellowship, and the opportunity to worship you without any restrictions, with freedom. We thank you for that. We thank you for the freedom that we enjoy in this country. And also we remember those leaders who have led us in the past so that we can live with justice and peace. Leaders like Martin Luther King and others who led us. We thank you for them and their lives. We come before you as your children with a heart full of gratitude and thankfulness. Help us, Lord, to continue to share our blessings with others as we live our lives in this world. We pray for those who are struggling with various issues. Many of us are broken in many different ways, especially in our bodies, in our souls, and in our spirits. When we go through periods of troubles in our lives, help us to remember that your presence is always with us as close as a breath. We pray for those who are struggling with health issues especially. We pray for Miss Jean McBrayer, we thank you for bringing her today with us to worship together. Continue to strengthen her in her body and her spirit. We pray for her families and all of those who are helping her and caring for her. Thank you for the care and love that they share with her. We pray for Grace and Harry and Carol, Claudia, Jerry, Lois, Richard Sims and Rich Barber. And also we pray for Sean and Andy. We pray for Tiffany and Wes. Bless all of them with your healing hand, Lord. Touch them, Lord. Empower them with your spirit. Above all, we pray for peace in their lives, in their families' lives. We pray for the doctors and the nurses and the caretakers and all of those people who care for them in various different ways, medically, physically, and socially, and financially. We pray for your grace upon them to continue to do the work that they're doing. We pray for the victims of fire in the West, Lord. We pray for your grace upon them. Many of them lost their homes and dear ones and going through a difficult time. We pray that you will bless them with your grace and mercy and give them peace during this time. We pray for the authorities that are working to contain the fire and also to the relief work there. Special grace upon them, Lord, and bless them with all the resources that they need to rebuild their lives, Lord. We pray for our service workers, our military, fire, police, and many others who are struggling with various health issues. We pray for your grace upon them. Continue to bless them with your grace, Lord. We pray for our nation, the leaders of our country, especially the new administration that is coming up this week. We pray for your grace on the inauguration. It will be peaceful so that we can have a united nations, United States, to lead the world. We pray for your grace upon all the leaders, the world leaders who make decisions that will bring peace to this world, especially in the Middle East and many parts of the world, for a future that we look forward to your peace to rule this world, Lord. We pray for all the churches, and we pray for our church also in this community and all the churches around us. Pray for the pastors, the ministers, and the missionaries who have worked in the vineyard for your glory. We pray that you will give them the grace and the power of your Spirit to do the work faithfully wherever they are placed, Lord. We thank you again for this time that you have given us to gather here to worship together. Help us, Lord, to worship you in truth and in spirit, that in our meditation of the word, we pray that you open our hearts and our minds to receive your word, so that we can be filled with the power of your word, so that we can be faithful witnesses for you and your love wherever we live out our days in the days to come. We thank you again for your presence in our midst. Continue to guide us, Lord. We pray this prayer in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now the ushers may come forward and take up the offertory, please. Good and perfect gift comes from above, down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Loving God, we thank you for all the blessings that you shower upon us, Lord. You are the source of all that we have. You are merciful and gracious that you give us everything from your open hand. Help us, Lord, to understand that in Jesus Christ, you have given us more than we could ever deserve. We bring before you a portion of what you have given us as a witness to the love we have for you. We thank you for all of those who were able to give joyfully today, and pray for those who could not give today, O God. Remember all of them in your love. Bless and help us to use this offering to share your love in this community and around the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
As you remain standing, we will read the scripture now, which is taken from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12.
Don't pay attention to the screen. It won't sound the same. That's from last week. This is free. So don't be confused. We tried. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star, then it rose, and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them exactly the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for the gift of your word. Help us, Lord, to understand that your word is power and life that you gave us to experience in our lives. Open our hearts so that we can receive that power and life in us, so that we can also share that power and life to others around us, Lord. Illumine our souls so that we can understand the meaning of the message that we hear today. Help us to humble us before your word and be obedient. So whatever you command us to do, Lord, that we will obey that so that it can be a blessing to us. We thank you again for your presence in our midst. Let your name be lifted up and our people be blessed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I think what happened was Ivy did everything except he did one button. So I will do that for him here. He did all the other work. I think he did it. It's here.
I guess it's below
it. Yeah, so you didn't delete the other one. See, it's just simple mistake. Okay, it's here. He already did it. But he didn't delete the other one. That's good. Okay, thank you, Ivy. So
it
today,
a little bit better, though.
No. Okay. So this is the story of the wise men from the east coming to see the baby Jesus. A lot of times we have this big picture in our mind about the Magi coming, because you see pictures and greeting cards, and the three wise men sometimes in coming to see the baby in the manger and all of that stuff. That's mainly because there's only one place in the Bible this talks about, and it's the Gospel of Matthew that we see here from verses 1 through 12 in chapter 2 of Matthew. As you know, Matthew, a disciple of Jesus, was a Jew, and he had a Jewish background. So he wrote most of his gospel events based on his view of his Jewish faith, how to address the Jewish people and tell them about Jesus Christ, the Messiah. They were looking for a Messiah, so he was more relating to his faith, to relate to his own people, to explain Jesus Christ is the Messiah that you have been looking for. So that is what the background of Matthew is. The Gospel of Mark, as you know, Mark is not a Jewish person, not a disciple either. His name is John Mark, based on the history we study. He was later on a person who helped Paul in his ministry. And we see that in the book of Acts. And he was born to a Greek family, to a Greek family that they are not Jewish background. So they were Gentiles, basically, according to the Jews. So Mark is written basically by a Gentile. And Luke is not a disciple, somebody who walked with Jesus, but he came and wrote the book of Luke and book of Acts because he was told by the king at that time to write a history of Jewish people and the history of that country. So he was a historian, basically, hired by the government to write history, and he wrote history, and the main part of the history about the life and birth and life of Jesus Christ. He was not a disciple, he was not a believer. He didn't see Jesus probably, but he actually talked to various people and collected also. Probably he talked to Matthew also, I don't know. But this is the background, and John is a disciple, you know that. But he doesn't describe any of these things of events of Jesus' birth in his gospel. See how all of these things came together as the gospel today that we have. And then we have a whole picture of God's plan of salvation from all of these different people. That is what the beauty of the Bible is.
Amen.
It's written by more than 60 different people from all different backgrounds, like David, a shepherd boy, and then became a king, prophets who have been, you know, prophesying in the Old Testament, many, many different backgrounds, and then the gospel writers, like I told you, and then Paul, who was a persecutor of Christians, who was not a believer in the beginning, and then he became an apostle, and he wrote many books in the Bible. So all of these people with various backgrounds wrote all of these pieces of the Bible, what we call Bible today, and somehow God's Spirit joined all of these together so that we can have a whole plan of God's creation to salvation. Mm-hmm. That is what the Bible is.
Amen.
It's not just one book like it came from heaven, like some people believe. It's not like that. It's not written by one person. It's written by so many different people, believers and non-believers. And it's combined by the Spirit of God. So that is why Paul talks in Timothy that all scripture is God-inspired and given to us by the breath of God. The breath of God is the breath of God that God breathed into Adam when he created Adam and gave him life. When Paul says that God's word is the breath of God, he says that it is our life, the breath that we take every breath is our life, isn't it? You can hold your breath for some time, but after that, what's the first thing that you look for a person, if he is alive or not? Is he breathing or not? Right?
Amen.
If you lose your breath, either you are dead or you are going to die soon.
Yeah,
it is God's breath that is flowing through you and me. And that's what life is all about. So the word of God is given to us in various different ways as the breath of God. That's what Paul says, meaning that it is life itself in it. The power of life, God and all these together. So when Matthew wrote this story about this wise man coming from the east, I believe they came, some people say they came from the Persian countries in the Middle East, like Iran or Iraq. And some people even say that some of them came from India.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Because of the spices that they brought. I mean, we have a lot of spice back in India. So that may be true. But, and also the three gifts that they brought, you know, the gold, frankincense, and myrrh, it talks about three gifts. But the story never says that it was only three people. So some people say that there was a caravan of people who came from various parts of the world looking at this star. Maybe from India and Persia and many, many Middle East. Maybe close to 500 people came as a group from various parts. And many people bring many gifts. But three gifts were significantly noted by Matthew, because they were significant. And I'm thinking that there probably were other gifts also. But these three gifts were very significant in the Jewish custom that we will see as we go: the gold and frankincense and myrrh. So as we read, as we sang the song here today, we read that, you know, westward leading, still proceeding. They had a star in the sky, and that's what they followed, a sign in the sky that they followed. And also we see that many, many pictures will show you that the wise men or these people came to visit Jesus in the manger. Probably not true, because I don't think Jesus was laid in the manger not more than one night. It was not a great place there. So Mary and Joseph, probably as good parents, found a better place for Jesus somewhere else, in a home or someplace, in a couple of, probably more, not more than two nights, to keep a baby like that in a manger. So these people came to a home. That's what it reads in the story, not to the manger. So some of these things, because of the stories and the songs that we sing and we are familiar with, are not exactly the right thing. And also it may not have been until after 2 years, because Herod asked them to kill all the babies under the age of two. So probably there was something about the second year. So Jesus was about probably around 2 years old by all of these things happened. So I just wanted to give you a perception of what was the story about. But the important things to remember is that these people who came from the East, the other countries, who had no knowledge of the living God, but they saw the sign because some of them studied the stars and the astrology and all of that, astronomy and all of that stuff. So they calculated all of these things and said there is some revelation happening because of the stars that they see in the sea, that there is going in the sky, that there's going to be a king born in Bethlehem in Judea. Even though he's the king of the Jews, let us go worship him. That's what they said. So they did not come to see just a king, a royalty, but they came to see Jesus, to worship him. Who do you worship normally? You don't worship a king. You worship God. So they acknowledged and they understood that somehow this king who is born in the Jews in Judea is going to be the Son of God. And they worshipped him, and that's why they came there. And the three gifts that they brought, the gold, frankincense, and myrrh, have very big significance in the Jewish tradition. So some of them collected these gifts on their way, or when they started their journey. You know how long would it take for them to get here from India or Middle East? There was no airplane or anything at that time to get here in hours. It probably took several months. So when the star showed up in the sky and they followed the sign in the sky, probably took several months or even a year, more than a year to get here. Maybe camelbacks or, I don't know, some kind of methods to get here. So it's a months of arduous journey. Why did they take that? Leaving all their family behind and with all their expenses? Why would somebody go and take a journey, that arduous journey, to come and see this particular baby? Because they were given a revelation in the sky through a star that this baby is unique. He's not just a baby. He's born as the Messiah, not just for Jewish people. It is also for you Gentiles. Even though you are in the Middle East or India or Tibet or whatever other countries out there, the whole salvation is for everybody, the whole world. That is what the message of Epiphany is. It is the revelation of God to the Gentiles. There are two things that people, the theologians, say about theophany and epiphany. Theophany is the revelation of God in our lives. Theo means God, and phany means revelation of God. That's what theophany is. But epiphany is about the revelation of God to the Gentiles. It is not about just the Jewish people. The Messiah is for the whole world. And anybody who believes in the name of Jesus Christ will be saved.
Amen.
God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. So it doesn't matter where we are from or what we are from. The whole message of salvation of Jesus Christ is for the whole world. That's what we are here today. From various parts of the world, worshiping one God, one Father. And we have all one Father. That's what the message is. And these people were not only seeking for the baby, but also they were seeking for the truth. Because they know that they were able to find truth, not in all the religions and all the things that they have seen and believed so far. They said there is more to it than truth in this baby. And that's exactly what they were looking for. That's why they took that sacrifice of that long journey, took that effort, spending that money and time and months of journey to get here, because they wanted to see the truth. And who is the truth? The truth is Jesus Christ. And Jesus himself said that I am the way, the truth, and the life. Whoever believes in me will have eternal life. So he's the revelation of the truth. And whoever seeks the truth will find it in Jesus Christ. He is the only truth. And whoever wants to find the truth will eventually end up finding Jesus Christ in their lives. So that is what truth is, that they were looking for. And today, people look for various, all kinds of leaders to follow. But who does have truth? Where can we find truth? Can we find in our political leaders the truth? Can we find in our business leaders the truth? Where can we find truth? Can we find truth in ourselves? No, we are not truthful to ourselves either. Because we are in this world that is corrupt and polluted by sin. So we are by nature under the bondage of sin, and we will never find truth in this world. But Jesus is the only one who came to be the witness of the truth. Because he didn't have any sin. He didn't have any corruption of sin in his life. He is the truth, the way and the life. So they were seeking after that truth, and the revelation that they got through their studies of their astronomy and all the studies that they did, they knew that this is the witness of the truth, the real truth, God himself born in this world. And they were also guided by the light of the star. And Jesus said, I am the light of the world. So they came to see the truth and the light. And the gifts that they brought, that I told you, have very significant meaning in the Jewish religion. They brought this gold. Gold is a symbol of royalty, acknowledging Jesus as the King of Kings. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Even though the Jewish people rejected him, the Gentiles acknowledged him as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that's the significance of gold itself, showing the royalty. And they accepted him as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, even though they were Gentile people. That is what the significance of gold is. And it's also, if you look at the book of Exodus, where the Jewish people were given how to worship God and how to build a temple, gold was a very important thing in the tabernacle, because they were told to adorn certain areas with gold where the presence of God is. So the Gentile kings, the wise men, we call them, doesn't say wise men in the Bible, people from the east, that's what it says. But the eventually people call them wise men. You know why? Because they were wise to seek Jesus. And wise men still seek Jesus. If you want to be wise, you have to know the truth. If you don't know the truth, you will never be wise. But the truth is Jesus Christ. Until you find Jesus Christ, you will never find the truth. So wise men, wise people, will seek after the truth which is Jesus Christ, in Jesus Christ. And the gold is a symbol of royalty, acknowledging Jesus as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and they acknowledged him and accepted him as the Lord and King of their lives. Today we need to accept him as the Lord and King of our lives. Frankincense is a symbol of worship. Frankincense is actually a resin that comes out of a particular tree in the Middle East. It's called a Boswellia tree. It is used in the worship in Jewish customs. If you know some of the Eastern religions, they still worship in the traditional way that Jewish people worship. And they have this frankincense, something, an incense that they smoke. Especially the Orthodox churches, if you go there, you'll see a lot of smoke coming up in their worship service. You can look it up on the internet. They use some kind of an incense to practice that kind of worship that Jewish people did. And that's what they did with the frankincense. It's a spice, a resin of a tree that they used to worship. And when the smoke comes up in worship, in the Exodus and also in the Revelation, it says that the smoke represents in the worship the prayers of the people going up to heaven. That's what it says. In Revelation, you can read that, look it up. The smoke that comes out of the worship is a representation of the prayers of the people of God that is going up into heavens. And God will smell the aroma according to what the Jewish people believed. And in other words, today, our prayers are the incense, the frankincense that we are offering to God, so that our prayers will be acceptable to God, and the aroma that we radiate through our prayers. Do our prayers radiate aroma? Think about it. Sometimes our prayers are so bitter. Our prayers are full of complaints. But that is not what prayer is all about. The prayer is about pleasing God. Even though we go through some of the bitter times in our lives, it is about thankfulness. God gave this life as a gift in this world, not of our choice, but it is because of His choice.
Amen.
So whatever we go through in this life is because of the corruption that happened among us. So let us be thankful for the gift of life that He gave us to live in this world. That itself is to be thankful for.
Yes, it is.
The life itself, it's thankful for. We may have pain, we may have suffering. Mm-hmm. But our prayers should be full of thanksgiving all the time. Even when we go through pain, God, we thank You for this pain because You are with me in this pain. Mm-hmm. I can feel Your presence in the midst of this pain. Just like Daniel and Joseph. Daniel, who was put in the den, and the people who were in the fire, they were not complaining or they were not worrying about their lives. They were still thanking God when they were going through that fire, because God did not promise us to be kept away from the fire, but He promised us to be with us in the fire.
Amen.
So sometimes God does not deliver us from the fire, but He will deliver us in the fire. So let us be thankful for that. So may our prayers be filled with the frankincense and aroma that will be lifted up into heaven, that God will be pleased. And do not be complaining. Always be filled with gratitude and filled with joy. Even in the midst of our pain and suffering, God is going to be pleased. And the myrrh is a burial spice. Again, another spice pointing to the future sacrifice that this baby is going to have to do, that myrrh. So those are the three gifts that are significant in the story that the people brought to the baby Jesus. In our lives also they are significant, pointing us to the invitation that the scripture is calling us to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior, just like they did with the gold, giving our life to Him. Our precious Savior is before us so that we can give our gifts of life to Him. And also our prayers and our lives as an aroma to God, like the frankincense, to worship God. Worship is not just gathering in our prayer in churches and worshiping here. This is worship too. But real worship is our life, how we live out our life. Does our life produce the aroma like a frankincense? When we are in our workplace, in our social societies, wherever we do our lives, do we produce that aroma of Christ to others? Or are we making problems and struggles for others? We have to be people who produce the aroma of love and care and compassion to a needy world around us. That is what aroma is about. That's our life and our prayers. And also the myrrh is accepting the sacrifice of Christ. And we read in the scripture that myrrh has been used when they buried Jesus. You know, the people who embalmed the body of Jesus, they actually brought spices, and myrrh was the spice that is mentioned there. So there's also acknowledging the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross and His burial. And that is what the myrrh is pointing to. As we come to Jesus Christ, we also acknowledge the sacrifice that He has done, the death on the cross of Calvary, and the burial. Just like one of us, He was buried, and then He rose from the dead, so that we can have that resurrection in our lives, and eternal life that God has promised us. So as people of God, these gifts are significant to us even today, to apply that in our lives, to acknowledge the birth of Christ, not only as a celebration every year, but also every day of our lives, become a witness to acknowledge Jesus as our King and our life as a fragrance, and also acknowledging the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and His death on the cross so that we can have eternity with God. So as we go from this place, God asks us to be His aroma wherever we are, acknowledging His and witnessing His life to this world. May the good Lord bless us with these words as we go from this place to be His faithful witnesses wherever we are. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
The closing hymn is hymn number 545, The Church's One Foundation. We will sing verses 1, 2, and 5. If you are able, please stand. 545.
The church is one foundation, with Jesus Christ the Lord. She is His new creation, by water and the word. From heaven He came and sought her, to be His holy bride, with His own blood He bought. Elect from every nation, yet one o'er all the earth. A charter of salvation, one Lord, one faith, one birth. One holy name she blesses, but takes one holy food. And to one hope she presses, with every grace endued. Yet she honored and union with God agree in one, and mystics with communion with those whose rest is won. Oh, happy ones and holy, Lord, give us grace and we. Light and the meek and lowly, born high may dwell with Thee.
People of God, let us be seekers of truth and always be on the pursuit of truth toward Jesus Christ, guiding others to the light and truth and grace that is in Jesus Christ. May we offer our best to God and bow our hearts before God as we go from this place. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, love of the Heavenly Father, and the everlasting comfort and fellowship of the Holy Spirit go with you now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen.